This person writes, friendly fire, COVID-19 imported into some Caribbean islands, but transferred to the rest of the Caribbean by Liat and Cal. On February 28th, I sent a WhatsApp message asking about what measures Liat had put in place in terms of training for staff, gear, who gets to fly, quarantine rules, etc. Having followed various news feeds over the weekend where people exposed to the virus have flown or have been diagnosed with the virus after having flown, resulting in flight crews being quarantined for both airlines, I ask, how is this happening? Is there no communication between the airlines and the public health officials? I ask again, what is Liat, but now Cal, doing to safeguard the well-being of its crews, their families, the flying public, and the wider Caribbean? Well, that's a question best answered by the two airlines. Down to brass tacks. Hello. Welcome. You're on the air.
From Johnson Land, Green Hills and Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
It is a burst space, a pipe out here at a resident. This pipe, I reported since Thursday last week, Friday. Up to now, the waterworks haven't come yet to fix it, and real water is pouring.
This is Johnson Land,
Green Hills and Michaels.
Green Hills and Michaels. All right, well, I hope that they hear you.
Okay, thanks.
I hope that these people hear me too. You know that we were complaining about these roads for quite a while. You know that we were all very pleased to see Green Hill resurfaced. Well, I would like to know who it is that went and dig up Green Hill and left it in the condition that it is in. There's a portion there by this new church that they're building. Quite a monstrosity, I might add as well. But both the church and the area that have been dug up, when I say quite a monstrosity. But this was badly resurfaced or redone by the people who dug it up. I don't even know if it's Barbados Water Authority or who are the people from Natural Gas. One or two of them responsible for it. It's just disgraceful what has been done there. And all you need now is a good shower and you will see just how much that road is going to be eroded, that portion of the road. Why should this be happening? It is unacceptable that utilities in Barbados should be digging up the road and then leaving it in this kind of condition. Why is it that they are not being penalized? Because ultimately the government of Barbados is going to have to deal with this, or the MTW or whatever. Go and have a look for yourself and see what has happened there on Green Hill. This is down to brass tacks. You're on the air? Welcome.
How are you doing?
Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mr. Ellis. How do you do?
I'm well, and you?
I'm fine, thank you. Well, I'm calling in connection with a company. Now, Barbados Telephone Company. They used to provide a service. I don't remember the name of the service, but you press star 69, and you will get the number of the person who called. Remember, we have about 19,000 people with disabilities, according to the minister just last week, and another 5,000. Those are people who cannot really run to a telephone. And if they miss the number, at least they can dial star 69 and know who called them.
Mm-hmm.
I had that service for over nearly 20 years, or maybe more than 20 years.
Right.
Last week, I gone on it and realized when I dial star 69, I get in a beep, a busy tone. I called the company, they came and looked at my phone, they went back, they said they couldn't fix it, somebody else will come and fix it. So today, Monday, I called, only to hear that they have discontinued that service.
Just like that?
Without a notice, huh?
Just like that?
Yeah, just like that, without any notice or nothing.
Well, you know, they can do as they like.
Well, they allow them to.
They do as they like because the current environment is one which allows them to do so. And there are too many complaints of this type of nature where at the end of the day you feel as though you have no one to turn to. The regulatory body that was supposed to be protecting you, the legislation that was put in place ostensibly to protect the people of Barbados seems not to be working to their advantage to the degree that you want. And, right. You know, it just shows you that, you know, you sit down and you listen to people talk about, we pass legislation or we passing legislation. What does that mean at the end of the day? You know, you could pass all sorts of pieces of legislation, but it is how effective they are.
Right. If it is enforced.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand what you're saying. So you called the company, I assume. They told you that it was discontinued. And of course, you didn't leave it there. What did you tell them?
I tell them I'm going to call the Fair Trading, which I don't have the number for it at the moment, so I call VOB because VOB is very effective.
Fair Trading. When you told them that, they must laugh at you.
Yeah, you're right. But anyway, I have to let us know because I think too many things are happening. Business people, that's what they feel like with no regards for how other people feel. Although I can make a phone call, I know there's many because I am in that category of disability. And with 19,000 people, about 23,000, if you ask me.
Yes.
You don't know how many of them who use that service because they can't reach a telephone. And I think it's a disgrace for the company to do that, and I believe someone should look into it.
Well, I really think that we have a ministry responsible for elder affairs in the country as well.
That's right.
I think many of the people who are going to be affected by that are those that would be covered by this ministry. This ministry should be interested in protecting their interests. In addition to that, there is the Barbados BARC.
For the disabled?
There's BARC.
Yeah.
There's the Council for the Disabled.
Right.
And I really believe that a person in your position should make all of them aware of what has taken place and its implications for so many people in the country, and that some kind of representation needs to be made to that company to, you know, at least explain why it was necessary to do it in the first place. Of course, they need a public reprimand for just imposing this kind of change just like that. But that's the kind of insensitivity, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you get from the public servant that you go to the counter to talk to. When that person is on the phone talking to whoever they want to talk to, they ignore you. They ask you, essentially, why are you making me miserable? This is it at a more sophisticated level. Bad treatment, all right? We got to recognize it for what it really is.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's real.
Over the years, I mean, you've been one of the people, you know, who's been in the vanguard of representing the interests of people who are challenged, either through their eyesight or in other ways. I mean, have you seen things change for the better?
I can say there are some changes. There's much more to be done, but there are changes. But they're coming very slow. And some people, because they may have succeeded, some are persons with disabilities, maybe they benefit in some way or the other, then they become reluctant to continue to be a fighter. But there's a lot more to be done.
Like in what areas?
Transportation-wise is one. That is very important for persons with disabilities.
What's the status of that right now?
All I know that the Barbados Council for the Disabled are the most reliable one at the moment that transport people with disability with wheelchairs and so on. There's a few other little companies that come aboard. But when it comes to public transport, like the transport board, there were three buses. It came to one, and I'm not even sure if one is still, if the last one is working. Okay, but that's something I fight for very heavily, which I was proud when it came. I think Stetson Bob was with the company at that time, Transport Board.
Hmm.
But everything goes down. If you don't say nothing, you keep quiet, everything goes down. And that's why I call your company today, so that let them understand there's still people who understand what it means to service.
Well, the truth of the matter is that there are a lot of instances in this country where it appears as though the public is owed no explanation. Do as you like, because when you're finished, They got to like it or lump it.
Lump it.
You know, and who cares about what they say? We really don't care. Somebody says to me, and the people at Flow need to say whether this is indeed true, but they tell me that the data plan rates have been increased unannounced at Flow. Is that true? I mean, if it is unannounced, why? Why would
exactly.
Why would you want to treat the public of this country like that? You mean you believe that because it's unannounced, nobody is going to notice and people are going to keep less noise?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you anticipate that if you announce it, they can keep noise? So unannounce it then. You know, it's just...
Anyway, there's no now. That's the most important. It's no now.
Well, they need to confirm because I want to know whether that is so. It may well be that. It may be in certain categories. It may not be in all. But or it just may not be so altogether. But given what your complaint is, I have put that in the mix as well.
True.
Yeah.
True. But we'll see what happens over the next 2 days. I will not let it rest in peace like that.
Yes. All right.
Have a good day, Mr. Ellis.
You do too. Well, they tell me that it is the Barbados Water Authority that is responsible for digging up the newly paved Green Hill Road and leaving it in the condition that it is. Does that surprise you? I suppose if it were a private company doing it, chances are that by now one of the ministers would have been on the radio or TV knocking that private company for leaving the road in that state. But it is a state-owned entity that is responsible. So as usual, they get away with whatever they want to get away with. And most likely the BWA will come and tell you that they ain't got no money. So that's why they leave the road in that state. Now, years ago, I remember when ministers of former governments were saying that there had to be some plan and they wanted to move away from this situation where you just repave the road and then it was dug up and that sort of thing by one of the utilities. Whether it is state-owned or not, you know, I suppose most of them are. The only utility that is not would be Light and Power. So when it comes to the digging of the road, it is Water Authority or NPC, National Petroleum Corporation. But something has to be done about this. This is really... When I saw the road being dug up, look, I was shocked. So, I mean, so soon? Well, chances are, yes, you could have an emergency situation. But it is the condition in which it is left thereafter that really bothers you. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Hi.
I was calling about there's a new building that for authority, some construction services, construction there on the Harbor Road for authority. They have some sidewalks there that is not good enough for cat people to be chairs or anything like that. And this is a new building that we're up. But no, a new sidewalk. And do I have anywhere for beaches?
Where is this again?
Right on the Harbor Road there, behind for authority building. Is a new building that is being constructed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a ramp or anything like that to be chairs.
Did you call anybody about it?
Not yet. Not yet.
But you need to call somebody.
I passed there and I saw it. And I said, we don't even have a ramp there for handicapped people. And the news say, what? I know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I understand the concern that you have, but you are speaking now from the position of being somebody who has, you use a wheelchair?
No, I don't. But I see a lot of tourists pass through the chairs.
Yes.
I have to put them in the road to pass.
Well, I suppose the people at the Ministry of Transport and Works may have to tell us what are their plans. Sometimes, you know, these things are in the planning stages. And it is quite possible. I think everybody understands the importance of improving access to our streets for the increasing number of people who are coming here as cruise visitors. they won't be coming here for a couple of weeks because of all that has just happened. Yes, and I suppose we can use... Pardon? Pardon?
They have to be barring the traffic coming up that road. There are two lanes of road there. And they have to be barring the traffic going there.
Yes. All right.
Okay, thank you.
Good. This person says you're talking about Green Hill, but drive through Whitehall from Codrington Hill and see what the Barbados Water Authority did to that road. Green Hill is a cherry pie in comparison. Barbados Water Authority, what is going on? I mean, this in this day and age, isn't it possible to resurface or to patch these roads to a higher standard? We understand you can have a problem, but my goodness, this is just not good enough. Down to brass tacks. You're on the air.
Hey, morning, David. How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I'm pretty well. I have 2 points. The first one concerns the Barbados Water Authority.
Mm-hmm.
I pay for a connection in Long Bay, St. Philip, I think sometime in April last year. And that road, that stretch of the road was being, construction was being done there. They were repaving it and all that. The road is dig up, to use a Beijing term. And when I paid for the connection, I told the Water Authority that the road is under construction and now is the perfect time to do the connection. And I don't, notwithstanding the fact that I know that I probably was way down the line or whatever, the fact that the road was being dug up and construction was being done, I thought it would be put up on them to do the connection. Do you know that the road has since been paved, and in order for them to do that connection now, they would have to go and dig up a freshly paved road that is not 6 months old yet?
Wow.
They would have to go and do that. I mean, shame on them. I mean, where is the common sense? Where is the common sense at the Barbados Water Authority when it comes to these things? Honestly.
You know, I hate to say it, but sometimes it looks as though some... Well, it can only make sense. Somebody else suggests here that Barbados should follow the lead of Belize. When utility companies dig up the roadway, the repairs are then completed by the Ministry of Works, and the bill is forwarded to the utility company.
That should be done. Definitely.
You've got to find a different approach.
Definitely should be done. My second point, David, is that there were... there's this load of aggregate or whatever that was by the flour mill site on Spring Garden Highway. And when those trucks move that aggregate, a lot of it remains on the highway. So a lot of dust and stuff. I know that there's street sweepers in these states and stuff, those trucks that sweep the street. I believe that who's ever responsible for that site, but above the flour mill, I think Rothard Cement, that's the name.
I hear it's Infra.
Well, whoever is responsible needs to clean the road. When you're driving, all that dust gets into your car, gets into your air conditioning system, gets all your breathing in that dust along with the Sahara dust that we're having. And there's a lot of gravel. So if you're not careful when you're driving, it flies into your eye because vehicles are moving at a fast speed. And it just takes a bit... a tire to pinch one of those little rocks or whatever, and they're flying all over the place. I don't believe it's good enough. Before all that was shipped to Barbados and brought there, the road was relatively clean. Now that it has been brought there, Infra or whoever is responsible needs to clean the Spring Garden Highway and the adjoining roads that those trucks deposited that gravel or aggregate or whatever it is. It needs to be cleaned.
All right.
What
so,
are your thoughts on that, David?
Well, I've heard complaints about that before. And I heard people say that basically what was happening was that sometimes the trucks appeared to have too much gravel on them and they were spilling onto the road. I said, but you know, we have long been complaining about making sure that material that is being transported along the highways is better covered so that that doesn't happen.
Actually, there's a fence on the Road Traffic Act.
Right.
Load not properly covered.
Well, even if it is properly covered, but the gravel is escaping, then that is inadequate as well. And therefore, it needs to be addressed by the company involved. They can't have the same kind of impunity that the Barbados Water Authority seems to have when it comes to the way it does some things, you know. You can't extend that out to private sector too.
Have a good day. All right.
Down to brass tacks. Hello. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
On the 12th of March, the Wheelchair Foundation celebrated 15 years in Barbados. Mm-hmm. An organization, I heard you just now said about people coming out the boats in those small sidewalks without any access for wheelchairs. Now, so far, it may surprise you to know that the 15 years of our existence, we have given away no less than 1,540 wheelchairs to Barbadians to enable them to get around Barbados and to play their own business across Barbados. And more we are calling for the powers that be to assist the disabled community, especially the wheelchair users, to really make sure that these sidewalks and pedestrian crossings, etc., are done in a way that they can have that kind of mobility. When you look at the amount of people in Barbados, in fact, you may even have the amount of people in Barbados who are disabled, the amount of people in Barbados who have strokes, who are in need of wheelchairs, amputations. Every possible day, we get calls for somebody who have gotten an amputation or had a stroke or some other disability that is in need of a wheelchair. And we have been giving those persons those wheelchairs free of cost. So to give away 1,540 wheelchairs is no mean feat when you look at the amount of NDCs that you have across Barbados. And more, we have to really think about our brother's keeper. Today we are good, and tomorrow, with the prevalence of strokes and diabetes and whatever other non-communicable diseases they have across Barbados, more and more we are pressed into service for these wheelchairs and to give people mobility. And we are hoping that all will be done to make sure that those persons who are provided with these with these wheelchairs be given some access, even in the homes. I think more and more we have now to get the powers that be, the organization that deals with the disabled, I think it is the Cynthia Ford's ministry. I put it that way quickly because they don't always remember the name.
Ministry of Elder Affairs.
Elder Affairs, yes. Ministry of Elder Affairs. I get calls first and asking, I have the wheelchair, but I could get me a ramp. I think that's something we have not been in the business of ramps yet. Or I don't know if we'll ever get there because it takes a lot of money to get these things. Because we depend on persons like you and persons across the community to give us contributions to make sure we can bring in 250 wheelchairs on every shipment. And these are things that we're looking at. So we need that kind of help. We also carry walkers. We don't have many walkers, but we also carry walkers. And to make sure that those persons have the ability to move around Barbados, and because disabled people are people too. And we have to enable the disabled to get around this country in a way that they can feel proud that they're citizens of this country and they're not only shut in and they can get outside and enjoy whatever is going on the outside and to participate in whatever activities there are that they could be afforded to participate in when they get that wheelchair or that mobility.
But how much more work needs to be done in making the sidewalks more accessible to people like that? Having the chair is only one part of it.
It's only one part of it, yes. Not the wheelchair, the sidewalks, as well as the ramps. When we get the wheelchair in your house, to get the ramp in and ramp out. And then you'll be surprised to know that to move from somebody, if you have a meeting, what happens to a person that wants a wheelchair, want to come to the meeting? The cost of transport in Barbados for wheelchair users to get there are not many taxis in Barbados that have this facility to have a wheelchair hoist to lift you up and put in the thing. But it's very expensive for a wheelchair user to move from any part of Barbados to Bristol, even to get to Queen Elizabeth Hospital. And I heard somebody was talking about the ambulances are not always working.
You know how long we were talking about that?
We have to look at, and they have to make the ambulances that are going to carry wheelchair people in a way that they can be lifted on to the ambulance. These are things we need to look at and look at very, very quickly, because more and more people are become these monkey strokes and things, and it's something else, you know. Every time you open it, every day you listen to the radio, your station, or any station you're hearing, the monkey, the NDCs that they have all across Barbados, even the young children. We also carry some wheelchairs for youngsters as well, because it happens. And I would like to call on the public of Barbados and the government, the public, to get more involved in the Wheelchair Foundation and making some contributions, as well as to call on the government of Barbados to make sure that any kind of road repairs, any kind of new buildings that they have put up, that they are really accessible to wheelchair users.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. They tell me that Flo are not the only people responsible for increasing the cost of data, that Digi has increased their data rates with no notice as well. This person says that they had a special plan of 1.5 gigabytes for $30, and this has since been discontinued, and they now have to pay $55 for a 5-gigabyte plan. So, you know the situation with respect to these telecoms is that the internet part of what they do, their business, is not really controlled by the Fair Trading Commission. It was Flo's landline, where they had to go and get permission and that sort of thing. They have to have these hearings and all of that. But the other side of the business is not so controlled. And, you know, what strikes me is that in this current discussion that we are having about the COVID-19 and what it implies for a country like Barbados, across the board in countries, it is forcing people to work from home as much as possible. Among the biggest beneficiaries of this particular situation is the telecoms companies, because you have to pay for the data. All right? So perhaps they've upped this. This is an opportune time, supply and demand, for the telecoms to operate like this right now. But running hand in hand with their approach to increasing the fees, we have to ask the question whether they are up to the capacity that is required, where companies and individuals are forced to use the internet to a greater degree to communicate on business and other related matters. Now, one has gotten the impression that over the years, you know, more and more people have started to use the internet. Indeed, today, if there is no internet service, there is no business. In many places, business cannot be conducted. And I therefore think that one of the most critical aspects of being better prepared for situations such as this is our move towards greater use of the internet. Now, further down the road, I think this is also one of the methods that we are going to have to use to try to ease the congestion and the waste of time on our roads. And for all that is being said about how people are panicking and how much hysteria there is about COVID-19, it also has the ability to force societies to move further along the path towards the use of technology as a means of facilitating business and improving communication. We wait to see where it takes us. Down to brass tacks. Hello? Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Morning, David. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I'm blessed. I wish all the best for Barbados, for you and your family. in this pandemic that we are in. You know, you asked the question, why are we like this? Why are we more or less with the roads treating our country the way we are? I think it's because there's no more pride in the industry. The industry have practically gone, and the pride is going as well. I think if you love your country and you want to see your country go forward, there are certain things that you would not do to destroy your country or to deface it in any way, knowing that we rely on tourism. Our roads is major because our roads has more traffic on it than before. And when the authorities does this and they seem not to care because there's no more pride in country.
But what would cause that? You know, it's one thing to say it is missing, but the question is, has it always been like that? And if it has changed, what caused it to change?
No, it was not always like this. But I find as more a country develops, the people become more selfish and more self-centered. And then it's about you and your family, and it's nothing about the broader community anymore. So you see, if people start to get back this pride in loving themselves and their country, I think a lot of this nonsense will stop. You see, it's not only to get a week's pay at the end of the month, a week's pay at the end of the week, and then go home and meet your various necessities. It's about helping your country to go forward. And a result, because of your country going forward, you too as a person will go forward. So I think Barbadians need to get that in their mentality. Most of us love our children, and we does all that we can to help our children go forward, isn't it? We does all we can. We try to get them the best education, the best food, best everything to help our children go forward, because our children become a part of us. So we have to see our country as a part of our well-being, a part of us, a part of our identity. So when we start to see that, is when betterment will come in our country. Even in customer service, the way some of us are treated in customer service is poor. And people don't see that this has a lot to do with pride of country. Is it El Barrio that said, don't think about what your country can do for you, think about what you can do for your country? Is it him that said that?
No, he might have repeated it. I believe the person it was attributed to, first of all, was JF Kennedy.
Right. So you see, this is the respect that we have to get back as a people. When we start to love our country the way we love ourselves, some of us don't even love ourselves,
well,
but we all love our children,
you know,
we will get it back.
You got to really come to terms with the fact that a people do not become like this overnight.
No, but it ain't happen overnight.
No, and therefore, the strategy for trying to change the behavior is important. Merely saying that people ought to behave in a particular way is not going to achieve it alone.
Well, we have to start with the little ones, the little two-year-olds and the little three-year-olds. We have to start with them. Teach them not to litter. Teach them to appreciate country. It has to be started from then, because that
if
is
you
the same mind.
If you push a concept that basically says that it's the white people who still control Barbados, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is the business people who are the ones who are the great beneficiaries of what Barbados has.
Mm-hmm.
And the average Bajans really have gotten nothing out of it over the years.
Mm-mm.
What do you believe is going to happen to the people who make up the majority of the country if they believe that? If they see nothing in it, if they don't see the strides that have been made in this country over the years, if they haven't traveled and seen and been able to compare us with others in the world, and they buy into this notion that no matter how good a house they may live in and how much they may be able to turn on the television and even talk to Alexa or Echo or whatever it is now, you know, we are still in a ghetto in our minds.
Mm-hmm.
So if you believe that you have gotten nothing and there is nothing for you, then you say, I don't care.
That's because you're ungrateful and unthankful, because it's not that you haven't gotten nothing. You need to ask the Lord to give you a
But the people who have listen, a lot of the people who have come along and done well get up on political platforms and on and among the trade unionists in this country and preach that thing all the time. In an interesting way, it is reinforced by people that sometimes you are surprised to hear coming from.
It's true.
Black people in Barbados have gotten nowhere, have gotten nothing.
That's not true.
Beneficiaries in this country have been the white people. And essentially, therefore, the blacks have nothing to protect. That's what I hear from a lot from some of them.
But that is not right. Listen to me. Our mentality as black people tends to want to let our children come and work for everything that they have to get in life. You understand? Some of us don't leave legacies for our children. A lot of the white people that I worked with leave legacies for their children. As bad as their children are, they leave something behind for them to add to.
Like what? Something material?
Maybe. It might be material. And they come and they add to that to make their stance better in this world. A lot of y'all are black people tend to say, oh, if they want anything, they're going to come and work for it. I ain't left nothing for them. You understand? So we have a mentality where we love when our children love us. And we share when our children is grateful. But we have to understand that our children are our children, whether they're grateful or ungrateful, they're still ours. And we can't let that be the mentality that we have in order to let our course go forward. You understand? As bad as our children may be, they're still ours. God has blessed us with our children, and we should always leave a legacy for our children to go forward with. May it be a mental or physical or material, we should leave a legacy behind for
but
our
we
children.
Do.
And you know what?
But we do. Contrary to what you are saying, we leave some form of legacy.
Then we will not be appreciative. We will not be ungrateful or unthankful for what we have. Barbadian's education system is a very high system. And it seems as though the more educated we get, I don't know what is going on there. We do so good at university. We get so much accolades behind our name. But our country is still going in a way where...
You see no positives?
I see positives, but
where?
I see a lot of negatives.
Where do you see the positives?
They are positives because... They are positive because we see that people are more striving for education back then. They're pushing their children in that era. They're pushing their children, but at the end of the day, the children, we are getting more educated, but we are not using the education for the best of our country. It's just about money, you know, getting money. It's not about building a legacy. It's not about helping our children to invest back in our country, you know. Mm. People go to university and they get all of this education and things, and hardly they give back. A lot of them don't give back to their country. So it's about taking out, and not putting back in. It's like the Dead Sea. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if people get to appreciate what they have and give back to their country, it will help their country to grow. But everybody wants for themselves, and they're keeping it for themselves in their cupboards, and they're not sharing with
Not
them.
Everybody.
Okay, sorry.
Not everybody, because I'm going to tell you why I will say not everybody.
Sorry about that.
No, don't be apologetic. Look, at the same time, you know, there are people in various organizations in Barbados that reach out there to help. There are a lot of people in communities who are also giving. But many people believe that you don't get out there and let people know what you're doing in that regard. You don't shout from the rooftops.
Exactly.
But there are many people who give. I think part of the problem that we have in Bridgetown right now with all these vagrants is that a lot of people feed the people in Bridgetown. As a matter of fact, I think that if they want to protect the town a bit more from this, that perhaps they should be feeding them somewhere else. Find some other points at which they can feed these people. But wherever they feed them, remember, they are likely to take the problem with them.
Yes.
All right? But
teach a man to fish and not always give him
a fish. Some of these guys don't want to be taught to fish. Trust me.
Yeah.
They don't want to be taught. But the only point I'm making is that that's an example of people who are committed to helping, and they do this on a regular basis.
It's true.
All right, so
even my church does that.
All right, there you go, and you and even you are involved in it. It isn't just your church. You do it. So don't in looking at the negatives associated with the problem, do not forget that there are two sides to this story.
It's true.
You know, and we need to encourage
but
more.
We are becoming more and more educated, David, so we shall find a solution to this problem. People will say education isn't common sense. Education comes from books, but common sense comes from God. This is what I believe. So if we will put our education with our common sense, which comes from God, I think things will be better. But we just have the education and we are putting the common sense. We ain't applying the common sense to it. That's the whole gist of the program.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
We need to do it. Thank you.
Thank you very much for making your impassioned contribution. Look, there's a lady here from New York who's communicated with us before. She had said to me back on Wednesday, the last time I saw a comment from her, it had to do with these people traveling on the train and the buses in New York and coughing all over the place and that sort of thing. Well, of course, you know what that has helped to contribute to. A situation today now where she says that the streets are like a ghost town where she is right now, a Barbadian living abroad. And we want to hear from some of you as well. Call our number. Because it's important to get a sense of how you are coping with this situation wherever you are. In England as well, note that quite a number of the cases that the people in Jamaica have reported have been linked to people coming out of the UK, not the US. Huh? She says, starting tomorrow, the restaurants can only do delivery or takeout, so you can't sit down in the restaurant. And the gym is a no-no. And she said, don't talk about the supermarkets. The shelves were practically bare at one point. She says it is possible that they might have restocked by now, but she wouldn't know because she didn't go back. So that's the experience that COVID-19 has created for people in New York as we speak.